Time to talk Titans here. Hour number three, Chase Willie and D-Mace right here on 102.5 The Game. It's presented by Hair Club. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, sponsored by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is the go-to spot in Nashville for the best old-fashioned, a nice relaxing cigar, and lots of high-end spirits and wine. Jonathan Hutton brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Visit Blend Bar in the heart of downtown Nashville today. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Luxury redefined. Hut, what's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hope all is well. Hope everyone had a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey,
we did. Yeah, same back to you. I hope you had a good time. So, Hut, let's talk about Thursday. You're Mike Vrabel. What is your approach to this game, knowing that the result really doesn't matter? And you've got to win against the Jaguars. So in regards to resting players, in regards to what you want to get out of this game, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think if I'm Vrabel, I'm taking this twofold. One, I'm a former player, and I would want to play. At least my mindset would be that. I think Vrabel would echo that. And D-Mace, you can correct me if I'm wrong on
no,
that
you're right.
From a player standpoint. Mm-hmm. But from a coaching standpoint, he's got to win in Week 18, and he knows it. My approach, Willie, to answer this would be way different if Ryan Tannehill is healthy. If Ryan Tannehill's healthy, I'm making sure my top guys, including him, are ready for Jacksonville. But what we're really talking about on rest really comes down to like three or four players.
Right. Okay, so let's go through them one by one.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry. You saw his impact last week. Autry was he was terrorizing the front for Houston, and Simmons has been banged up as it is, and he wasn't the same when Autry went out. So it's difficult to rotate guys in with both of those dudes out, but if I'm resting Simmons, I'm also making sure Autry finishes the regular season in Jacksonville and it doesn't end against Dallas on Thursday night. Beyond that, that's where you can pick and choose on defense because they're already extremely banged up. You could put Byard, but Byard's been the more durable safety out there amongst the secondary. And on offense, it's really Derrick Henry. I'm not worried about resting any of the wide receivers. They're not producing anyway. And the offense isn't doing anything after the first half as it is. And, oh, by the way, Micah Parsons is going to be one-on-one with Dennis Daly. So good luck with whoever's playing quarterback. We're really talking about you can count on yep. one hand who should
okay.
be healthy for Jacksonville and what will determine the best possible lineup on what's a really, really thin lineup as it is.
All right, so Derek says – he plays Simmons, but if it gets out of hand, he takes him out. I say don't dress Simmons. You say what on Simmons?
I'm not playing Simmons or Autry, if I can help.
So you're not playing Autry. Derek is playing Autry. I'm saying Autry, if he feels good, he just got back, I would go ahead and play him. What about Christian Fulton? We're both no on him.
Fulton, no, because he's the top corner right now with McCreary. And yeah,
I've got to have him
for those
Jacksonville.
Guys against Trevor Lawrence.
Yes. Amani Hooker.
No.
I say no. Derek says
I'm going
says
through
yes.
a list here with you. Yeah. Like some of these guys are going to have to be up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't sit everybody.
Play some.
Now,
yeah,
if he's still dealing with it, because I don't know, Hutton, I didn't know what his injury was now. I know he missed a couple games because he was in the concussion protocol. Now,
yes.
if you're sort of, you know, kind of iffy on him because he's had the concussions, then okay. That's something that I look at totally different. You remove him from the game. But if it's not the concussion, to me, dude, you didn't miss enough games. We need you out there.
Yeah, that's fair. And they can match up differently, though, Mace, with him mm-hmm. in the lineup. You know, he can play the nickel. He can play safety next to Byard. He can play that, you know, that small backer position and move up some on the robber. He's valuable. He's a valuable piece. And again, I'm just going through a lineup with you guys. He's probably active because they're going to have to keep some guys active. They would mm-hmm. rather be healthy for Jacksonville. My key guys, though, are Simmons, Henry. Great point on Fulton. And beyond that, like, I'm okay playing the rest of this crew if it absolutely came down to playing on Thursday.
Okay. And so Henry, we both feel, wants to play. He certainly made that clear yesterday, it seems like. Would you? How hard would that be? Hud, if you wanted to actually go to Henry and say, look, we got to have you for Jacksonville. I don't know the extent of the hip injury here. That's what we're not privy to. But I think that would be hard to ask him to sit.
Yeah, and they took him off the injury list yesterday.
Yeah.
He practiced
So he's going to play, right? I mean, they did sit him in the one game. Remember a couple years ago, they sat him in the one game late in the season when he had, I think, a hamstring. Mm-hmm. And they kind of sacrificed that game to get into the playoffs, and it worked really well because that was the year that they went all the way to the AFC title game.
I mean, they are in a world of hurt too if he's not playing because I mean they don't Hilliard's not, he's on IR. You know, they don't have options beyond that. And keep this in mind too: Derrick Henry can win the rushing title this year. That's crazy to think about. He is like 120 yards behind Josh Jacobs right now. He can lead the league in rushing after Week 18. And it's been this up and down season where they're 7-8, and he's actually been okay considering the other backs in the league and their numbers. So, I mean, he's what 12 or 13 touchdowns now in the season. He's their offense. So, if he wants to play, good on him. And I think it's about winning, but it's also about hey, he is their offense. Now here's the horror story: it's 3rd and 2. And Downing actually runs him, and he gets hurt on 3rd and 2. You know, like that. We can't criticize Downing for running him because we've been doing that when he's not playing on 3rd down. But, you know, if he goes to Jacksonville and you don't have Derrick Henry, the playoffs are out. And here's the other honest thing here. They're probably not making the playoffs anyway with the way this team's been playing and the morale around this team. So rest or not, Jacksonville's the much better team as we sit here today on December 28th.
I think that's a fair point. Okay, so that brings us to Malik Willis. I'm trying to find, Jonathan, something that he does really well that you can build around. I'm looking for progress, and I know they're seeing some progress. I'm not seeing it right now. I want to believe that he can get there someday, even if it's not on Thursday, even if it's not this season. I'm looking for signs, but I really have my doubts long term right now. How about you?
Same. I don't even. I mean, right now, he's not even the primary backup for this team next year as he's playing. And here's the thing with where he is right now. I don't understand why they don't run him more. He played well in the 3rd quarter against Houston. He had the RPO. That was working well. They put Henry out there on 3rd down where they had to respect the run. RPO, 1st down run for Malik Willis. Touchdown run in that quarter. They outgunned Houston 81-31 in total yardage in the 3rd quarter last week. But he is so limited when it comes to passing the football. If it is a passing down, if they get a penalty on any drive, there is no chance that Malik Willis is making a big play in the passing game.
That's the feeling that everybody has. And they are hesitant to even call a pass play
that would
require him to throw through tough coverage. If it's 3rd and 8, can he throw it and hit the window? You know what I mean? Like they're hesitant to even try because they're afraid that it's just not going to go well. And I don't see him ever kind of throw the odd, really pretty ball. He's like, wow, that was a big-time throw. Like, even in the preseason, maybe a couple, but just not enough to give you any kind of sense of confidence here. That's what I'm worried about.
He's 18 for 38 for 131 yards in his last 2 starts. He's also been sacked 7 times. I mean, that's just so bad. It's impossible to win with that level of bad. And every throwing down to what you're saying, Willie, is chaotic in this Titans offense with him. And that, and especially with that offensive line. I mean, it is an extremely tough evaluation with him based on what they're telling him to do, what the offensive line is currently made up with, and his limitations in the passing game. Hey, also, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Dobbs play a little bit Thursday, tomorrow.
So if it really gets ugly, you would try Dobbs just to see what it looks like.
Well, because if you got to a point where you needed, in a 2-minute offense where you've got to throw because you're down 10 points in the 4th quarter in Jacksonville, if you want to go to the playoffs, you're going to have a quarterback who can complete a pass. And Josh Dobbs at least can throw the football to a receiver. I haven't seen Malik Willis do that consistently, and I don't think this coaching staff has any trust that he's going to do that anytime soon. And we can pick back up on that storyline next offseason and in the preseason next year.
Okay,
but
so
that's the only way I would play Dobbs is if I'm actually trying to come up with a way that I can drive the field and use Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and the tight ends more often than what they're doing.
This is what I've, in hindsight, come to believe. And I do look back, and we had a heavy discussion in our preseason talks about whether he was ready to be the backup. I kept thinking a reasonable goal would be for him to be the backup next year. But they rolled the dice. They didn't go for a different backup. They didn't want to carry three quarterbacks. I guess that was a little bit inconvenient. And they just basically said, hey, look, we might have to play a game or two, but Tannehill will be there. Let's have him be the backup. I don't feel like they put him in a position to succeed, especially in hindsight. And now it's burning them right now.
Yeah, but they still had the best of both worlds because Woodside was on the practice squad for the majority of the year. And the Falcons didn't sign him off the practice squad to their roster until Mariota split during their bye a couple of weeks ago. So they had Woodside available, and now that's Dobbs, who they've called up to the active roster, signed him because of the injury to Tannehill. So they still had the option to go with Woodside if they wanted to on game day and then put him right back as a designee, so to speak, for the practice squad. So they wanted to keep him, Willie, because I think they believed that if they cut him, they weren't going to get him back on the practice squad. And they did that with Woodside. So I understand that line of thinking. They really felt that he was a developmental QB. He's a third-round pick, so be it. But this is beyond just NFL ready. This is a you know what this is? This is a guy who needs to go to NFL Europe back in the day.
And we were saying that all throughout, that would be a great pathway for him. But they have had to play him way more, and he just isn't ready. He's not in a position to succeed, and we worry about the long-term development on that. We'll pick up that on the other side. Derek will have the questions for Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. So, Jonathan, get it started here.
Yeah, and I will with Edley's Barbecue. It's lunchtime. Noon is here. Edley's Barbecue's got you covered for lunch, and they do that each and every day with all the locations across Middle Tennessee, Sylvan Park, East Nashville, 12 South, in Donelson, Nolensville as well. Meat smoked low and slow, made from scratch, side dishes. They're serving brisket all day now. Edley's, they use the highest quality meats. They smoke their meats in-house daily, and they are great for catering any type of office party or party you're having this new year. And anything you may be doing over the weekend as well. They have a great event space over in the East Nashville location that can be rented out. Edley's is a neighborhood feel. They're a tribute to all things Southern, authentic to all things Tennessee. And it's Nashville-style barbecue, Edley's Barbecue. You can learn more about the great things that the Newman family, that they're doing, and everything they have to offer, which starts with great barbecue, at edleysbbq.com.
Ah, yes. Well, Phil Collins and Philip Bailey. Mm. A great duet from back in the day. Now, try to karaoke this sometime. You got to be able to hit the high notes. And I am not, capable. I'm not capable. Philip Bailey can go really high. For Earth, Wind, and Fire, he's a high note guy. Not Dan High Note from the Preds. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace presented by Hair Club. We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from OutKick. So, D-Mace, hit him up.
You guys just got finished discussing Malik Willis and you know, his lack of progress within his offensive line. And, you know, it's almost twofold with him. One, the offensive line, and who can, you know, go out there and do their job efficiently in front of an offensive line like the one the Titans have. I don't think there's not many quarterbacks that can go out there and have a good game behind that offensive line. They are horrendous at this point. So your evaluation of Malik Willis might be skewed a little bit. You might have to take this whole season of his, at least the last couple of games, and throw it in the trash, because if you're evaluating him based on what he has in front of him, that's unfair. But here's the deal with me in regards to Malik, and let me know your thoughts. Yes, Malik needs to get better as a quarterback, but is he being developed in a way that he's going to get better? They chose to move on from Woodside. Why? I assume they felt that he wasn't a capable enough backup, that he wasn't developing at the rate they wanted him to. Well, if that's the case, then we need to stop looking at these quarterbacks and start looking at the people that are coaching them.
No doubt, man. I'm with you on that. I would also say, like, it's hard to tell which side I would be on with this because of where Malik is right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the crazy thing is all we heard was this guy's like a potential first round pick. He falls to the third, and immediately it's like, okay, he's the backup to Tannehill. We'll find out if he can be the future. And here we are finishing the season with him, and I have no idea which way this is. I would say no on that. Mm-hmm. At best, he's a backup next year to Tannehill, who I would bring back. But Mace, I mean, you're talking about development. Like, the development of Malik Willis starts with throwing the football. Mm-hmm. And I think they've almost ingrained in him, stop bailing out of the pocket, stay in and throw it. And he came from an offense where it was one read and go. Mm-hmm. And they won a lot of games at Liberty doing that. And I think he's in his head a bit when it comes to that. But that's his best asset right now. And, you know, I remember VY, his rookie year. Offensive rookie of the year. It's not like he threw the ball all over the yard. They used his best asset and they won games. Finished 8-8 after an 0-6 start. Offensive player of the year whenever he came in as the rookie. So, yeah, I'm thinking it's more on the limitations they have and the inability to truly develop him without a full off season and really get going on what he does really well. I think it's tough to do that in the middle of a year, especially when you got Tannehill who's playing through injury and you're trying to just win games, which they were doing. And even when you've got the run game going, though, they're not winning games. And let's also say this. I was thinking about this during the break. They were really two plays away from beating Houston mm-hmm. this past week, and it had nothing to do with the offensive line or Malik Willis.
Yep.
Zach Cunningham drops the interception, one of the highest paid players on defense, drops the gimme pick where they end up scoring, and then you have the Henry fumble, and that completely changed momentum yet again. So you have your top two players, that $14 million running back and a $10 million linebacker, don't make the plays that they should be making, and despite all the deficiencies on that roster, including and at the top quarterback and O-line, They are still in position, I believe, to win over Houston because at the time it was 14-10 when Henry fumbled.
Yeah, you're right. You can't go out there and with the situation that you're in, a rookie quarterback, an offensive line that's beat up, a team morale that's down at this point, and you can't be one of the top players and contribute to the loss the way that they did, the Derrick Henry fumble. Now, this is starting to become a habit of his yeah. as of lately, him putting the ball on the ground, and that's not good moving forward. And then you have Zach Cunningham, who hasn't played basically all year. You come in and get an opportunity to make a play, and you don't make it. Yes, we can point at the quarterback, and God knows that he needs to get better. And he shouldn't be a starter in this league at this point in time. But when you have your $12 million running back, the best player on offense, fumbling the ball, and then you have a linebacker that you brought from your former team, and he's being paid over $10 million, they have to make plays when plays are there to be made. And this team is not getting much help around him. He's not doing well, but they're not getting help around him.
Yeah, and you can't. If your top guys aren't going to make those plays, I mean, it's not like the Titans were a great team at 7-3. We were on here every week. At least you heard me rant on this. Mm-hmm. The goal was the postseason, right? Mm-hmm. But they were making those plays during that run that has us now looking back on this team was 7-3 and now they're 7-8. And the difference is their top guys are putting the football on the ground. Henry has three lost fumbles the last three games. Keep this in mind. He had six fumbles total in the 36 games before this recent three-week issue. I can't explain that. And they have been big, big game-changing plays. He had two fumbles in the first 12 games of the year. He only had one fumble last season. He had three fumbles total in 2020, his 2,000-yard season. So this is an anomaly, but it is backbreaking for a team that has such a small margin for error. And when your top guys aren't making it, Mace, to your point with Cunningham and Henry, they're not winning games. And they're certainly not going to win on the arm of their quarterback right now.
Now, you're right about that. Now, Jonathan, Willie and I was talking about this, and I've mentioned this to him before or to the group before, that I believe this offseason, considering everything that has happened with this organization, the firing of your GM, you know, the whole thing with Downing, the offensive line, how horrendous it is, your quarterback getting hurt, all this stuff that has happened with this organization, you trading away before they begin the season, you trading away A.J. Brown. I think this offseason is the most critical offseason this organization has had in a long time. I think it's going to be sort of that building block. They need to do it right, because if they don't do it right this offseason, because they got a lot of holes to fill.
Yes.
And if they don't do it right this offseason, they might be putting themselves in NFL purgatory for a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the mispicks on the offensive line the last several seasons have put them in a spot now, Mace, where I don't think it's one off season to get back to where they were. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned they have so many holes. I mean, we're potentially looking at four new starters on the offensive line. I think at least three. With Petit Frere, the one guy I'm not considering changing. And I would like to have Davis back too, but who knows. But especially the left side is completely revamped, and likely center as well. And beyond that, you got to have a decision made on Henry. They gave him a $2 million raise this year, and Eddie George told me at the time, that the night that they announced it, he's like, hey, this really becomes a one-year contract for him, mm-hmm. where they can he's disposable now after this year based on the guaranteed money that he's getting. Tannehill, you got to rework something there for the cap. And, I mean, they've got to go out and do something at wide receiver. Defense, I mean, there's a litany of issues that you can't just correct through free agency and one draft. Then you're relying on new guys, plus you're relying on young players to come in and make an impact, which this franchise doesn't have a lot of history doing when it comes to rookies immediately playing, especially the last couple of coaching staff. So, I mean, it's to me, you know, it's not a discussion of rebuild or retool. Mm-hmm. You try to retool, and you have to determine whether or not the core group, which is Tannehill, Henry, Burks. On the other side, you got to pay Big Jeff. You've got Autry in a decision there. Byard's making a lot. You have to determine if your core guys are worth building around for the immediate future versus, okay, let's spend the next two or two and a half seasons trying to figure out who the next nucleus is going to be. It's a great discussion for the offseason before March. Because without Henry, they don't have the Deontay Foreman, at least I haven't seen him, on this roster. And they've got to go address that and determine what their identity is going to be. Right now, they don't have an identity. And that changed so fast with that locker room and that coaching staff whenever Robinson was fired. It was very alarming how fast they dropped from a team that believed that no matter who was playing, they were going to win, to a team that doesn't figure out how to get a couple of yards on third down and they end up punting, or it's 3rd and 14 and they have no shot.
Well, yeah, you're right, Jonathan. They got this game coming up Thursday. It's going to me, at least, it's going to be a big game. And for every action, there's a reaction. So them firing the GM, the reaction from that could be what we're seeing now. So, Jonathan, are y'all doing the post-game show this week?
We are not. We are back on we will be back for the post game after the Jacksonville win or a loss. So, yeah, so week 18 on the road there, I realize, but we will be at Superbook Sports Lounge there at Landshark, which is the second floor above Margaritaville on Broadway. It's It's really hard to describe. Just go to Margaritaville and Broadway, go up the steps, and it's right there. And when you see it, you'll realize what we're talking about. It is, it's like going to Las Vegas, mm-hmm. but you're in, you're on Broadway in Nashville. They have all the screens, all of the different things you can do with apps on your phone. It's a blast. And we're live for 2 hours after the game against the Jags in, what, 11 days.
Well, hopefully they can pick up a win this Thursday, Jonathan. And happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year, Mace. Always great chatting with you, man. We'll catch up soon.
Absolutely, no doubt. Talking with Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. You can catch the post-game show next week after the Jacksonville Jaguars game. I got my man Junie. He's going to jump in for Willie, who's headed off to the airport. The Preds are leaving today. So we're going to come back. We're going to discuss more about the Tennessee Titans in our upcoming game with the Dallas Cowboys on 102.5, 106.3, the game.
As far as preparation standpoint for this week, what's your schedule look like as far as on the field, in the classroom, and maybe how do you decide what's most important on a short
week? Well, I mean, we've tried to, you know, come up with a plan that's been, you know, all about trying to get recovered mentally and physically with these guys and understand the toll that the game takes on them each and every week, especially late in the season. I'm glad that they had, you know, spend some time with family on Christmas, and, you know, we'll add a little bit more than what we did yesterday from a walkthrough perspective and try to get moving around an individual. You know, today will still be, you know, a lot of team reps in a walkthrough setting. You know, tomorrow we'll probably ramp that up a little bit. I think that, you know, just some of the timing things that go into, you know, especially throwing the football, you know, seeing where guys are at and seeing what we can do from a speed standpoint to get ready for Thursday night.
That was head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel. Junior Riddle in here filling in for Willie as he's heading out to the airport. The Preds are heading out to Anaheim, taking on the Ducks this Friday. But, yeah, no, Vrabel seemed a little down on the dumps, Derek Mason.
Yeah.
Not a lot of positivity coming out about the Tennessee Titans this week as they're planning on taking on the Dallas Cowboys this Thursday on Thursday Night Football.
The most upbeat I've seen anybody this week was Malik Willis after the game, his press conference after the game, where, you know, and you expect it of a young guy, you know, and I don't know how people perceived it when, you know, his press conference. Some people probably didn't like it because he seemed too upbeat and cheery. Some people probably didn't mind it. I mean, to me, guys, you know, sort of they take games the way they do. It's sort of like you grieve the way you know how to grieve. I can't tell you just because you're not crying at a funeral that you're not grieving. That I can't do that. You grieve in your own way. I grieve in my own way. Malik Willis is the same. How you take a loss, I can't tell you. You need to be throwing things around or screaming and yelling and crying. I can't tell you how to, you know, react after a loss. You do what's best for you. And it seems like Malik Willis is on the hand of, you know, I want to be upbeat about it. You know, we got another opportunity to go out and prove that, you know, we are a playoff team. And I like that from a young quarterback. But there are things he needs to do on the field that needs to get better to help that. So we've talked about a lot of negative stuff with the Titans. And Lord knows there's a bunch of it, Junie. But some of the positives, how do they pick up a victory Thursday and then take that and parlay that into a victory in Jacksonville next Sunday, and which would push them into the playoffs?
And we touched on this a little bit yesterday, and I think there is a formula for this. I mean, the good thing for the Titans is that they're playing a home game on Thursday night. And historically, the home team always has the advantage on a short week because, you know, travel kind of takes away for a day of preparation for the team coming on the road. And then we look at the Dallas Cowboys, and I know they did a really good job kind of controlling the run game of the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, that is without Hurts, who is a predominant factor in that run game for Philadelphia. But You know, when it comes to the Titans, this team's identity all year long, prior to the injuries, has been running the ball with Derrick Henry, using the play action to kind of scheme these receivers who, you know, aren't very good at getting open. But, you know, with the threat of Derrick Henry being one of the best backs in the league, that has kind of opened up. So I think the first thing, you know, Dallas has kind of struggled to defend the run. You made the good point earlier that, you know, Dallas is more of a bend, don't break defense. But if they can kind of get some kind of established running game with Derrick Henry in this offensive line, I think that they have a shot in this game if they kind of play keep away from Dallas's high-octane offense for the first part.
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's going to be a tall task for a team that's so riddled with injuries. You know, Dallas is a good team. Dallas is a good – they have a good defense. I think the numbers – and like I said before, the numbers, and when you watch them at times, they don't match up because it's not like this is a historical defense. This is a shutdown defense. They're still giving up more than 130 yards rushing the football each game. So they do have flaws in what they do from a defense standpoint, but they do have Michael Parsons too, who is an elite defender, I mean, who is an elite edge rusher in this league, and he can single-handedly wreck a team. So to me, the Titans, and Willie mentioned this, and Jonathan did too, Hutt, he mentioned this, the things that Malik Willis was successful at in college, because we saw Greg Roman do this with Jackson. Okay, are we going to try to fit a round peg in a square hole with Lamar Jackson? No. What we're going to do is cater our offense around our quarterback. We're going to do some things that our quarterback is good at doing and then kind of go from there. And they were successful. Now, they may need to change some things now because people have picked up on that. And Lamar has gotten a lot better. I think that's something that the Titans need to start doing with Malik. I'm not saying scrap your whole offense because you can't do that. I think you can incorporate more RPIs, in the run game with Derrick Henry, and giving Malik Willis the potential to run himself because he's good at that. And then off of that, you can also pass the ball. So start using some of these things because you're not going to go too far outside your offense. You're not. I think when you do these, you know, these RPIs, with Malik Willis, it gives him a sense of comfort because he's been there before. He's done that before. And it also gives you the ability to still run the ball with Derrick Henry and be effective. So do some things that your quarterback feel comfortable with first and foremost, and then kind of branch off of that, because what you're doing now is not working.
No.
It's not working for the quarterback. And continue to stick with the run. If I'm downing, I'm not trying to pass the ball a lot. What I'm trying to do is run the ball consistently down Dallas' throat. Make Michael Parsons earn, you know, every penny that he gets. Go at him. Tire him down. Wear him down. And then when you decide to pass, he's not rested. He's tired because you're running directly at him, or he's trying to catch Derrick Henry from the back.
And I think another thing about this, especially with all the injuries on the offensive line, kind of having a complex blocking scheme can also be, you know, cause some trouble when it comes to establishing the run. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of offensive lines that have turned the corner on a season when you have a lot of young guys in there, especially when you're trying to do a lot of pulls, a lot of misdirections, like, you know, block the three technique and then kind of move and shift over to the five. They need to really kind of simplify everything on this offense, because we're looking at the talent on the O-line. We're looking at the talent at the receiving corps. And we're looking at, you know, the backup quarterback that, you know, everybody's saying shouldn't be in this position right now. They need to make it plain and simple. And to go to your point here with the running game and Malik Willis, you know, Derrick Henry's big touchdown was on a read option to where, you know, Malik Willis had the option to pull it. And Derrick Henry, that really freed him open because Houston had to stay at home and respect the running capability of Malik Malik to be able to take it upfield. But I think this is a really good conversation here. I want to keep going on this offense, and I think we should kind of go towards the defensive end, because we've seen Dallas and Dak Prescott, when the ball is in Dak's hand from time to time this season, he's been prone to make mistakes, and we've seen this Titans defense also at times be able to take the ball at a high rate. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. But before we go, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Office of Amanda Gentry. We just covered what the Titans offense needs to do to get a W against the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to start getting on the defensive end and seeing what they can do to try and slow down this high-octane Dallas Cowboys offense. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, last segment of hour number three today. Last segment, D-Mace, we got into talking about what the Titans need to do on offense to potentially pull a huge upset on Thursday Night Football against a really hot Dallas Cowboys team. We're trying to say on the positive end, you know, the offense needs to kind of morph towards more of a scheme in order to get Malik Willis in this running game with Derrick Henry going, and that the Dallas Cowboys are a bit susceptible to a good run game, and that's what the Titans are really going to have to do, especially with their offensive line struggles and pass protection. I just think that this Dallas Cowboys defense would love it if they dropped back and passed a lot more in this matchup tomorrow night. But let's get over to the defensive side, D-Mates. We've seen the Cowboys in certain games struggle with turnovers, especially with their quarterback Dak Prescott. At times, he is prone to throwing interceptions. And but prior to a bunch of these injuries, this Titans defense was really good at forcing them. So let's get into what the defense really needs to work and hone in on in order to get the surprising W against the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night.
Well, first they have to, you know, stop the run. The Dallas Cowboys are seventh in the National Football League in rushing per game. We know the two-headed monster of Pollard and Zeke, you know, Zeke is more of the pound and guy that kind of gets between the tackles and get those tough yards. He no longer has that burst that he used to have, that downfield speed. He doesn't have that anymore, but he's still more than capable to get you those tough yards. He's good at getting out the backfield and catching the football. But Tony Pollard is just – he's everything Dallas needs in a running back. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He's a little bit more agile and slipperier than Zeke Elliott.
He's also got that top end
exactly.
speed as well.
And he can just flat out, you know, get it once he gets an open field. So first and foremost, the Tennessee Titans must stop the run. If they're capable of stopping the run, and all of that depends on whether, you know, Danico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons are not two of the people that Mike Vrabel choose to sit during this game. If they are playing, then it's going to be critical to make Dallas a one-dimensional team, pass the ball, because we have seen, like you said, Junie, Dallas is prone to making mistakes. Dallas always Dallas on themselves for whatever reason. They throw interceptions, you know, they lose leads. They come out flat for whatever reason. This Dallas Cowboy team, with the talent that they have, a lot of times they don't play up to that talent. So that could be an advantage for the Titans, that they come in this game, they're looking past the Tennessee Titans because of the injuries, because of the 5-game losing streak, because of you know, firing of GMs, all the mess that's been going on with the Tennessee Titans. The Dallas Cowboys might overlook the Titans because of that. And it's not like a far-fetched thing to say, because Dallas always finds a way to Dallas on themselves for whatever reason.
And I think when you look at maybe potentially some of the guys coming back, I saw Christian Fulton was back at practice yesterday, so that's a really good sign for the secondary. But, you know, I feel like Kevin Byard has to have one of those Kevin Byard games to where mm-hmm. he's going to have to jump a pass and force an interception in the secondary, because that's been the weakness of this defense. And when you're talking about guys like Denico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons not being in the game to be able to be run stuffers, I think it's crucial that if they wanted to pick up a dub that those guys are going to have to play. I just don't see how they can contain this Dallas offense without them. And from you, I mean, you've been saying all week long that this team really needs a win. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't care if this Dallas Cowboys game doesn't matter to this team. The morale of the locker room needs to be up going in this Jacksonville game. And for me personally, I'm in the middle here. I think mm-hmm. if a player is really, really banged up and could use the extra week, I think that you give it to him. But if you're just resting them for the sake of resting them, I don't think that's going to help this team, because I believe you. I believe that even if they keep it close, say mm-hmm. the Dallas Cowboys overlook the Tennessee Titans in this game, and the Titans and Vrabel gets these guys coming out firing, I think if the Cowboys were to pull off a last-second field goal to win the game, I think the morale mm-hmm. of that and competing in this game, knowing who you're missing, knowing how big of underdogs you are, knowing how a lot of people in this fan base and in this city have kind of really given up on this team, mm-hmm. that if they come out and be competitive with one of the best teams in the NFL, that is a morale boost within itself. And I think that starts with the leadership in Jeffrey Simmons, in Kevin Byard, and these guys are going to have to come in and make game-changing plays and be the leaders that they are on this defensive unit in order to cause disruptions and turnovers and put this limited offense in the best situation that it possibly can be in.
Yeah, because the Titans are going to be shorthanded no matter what. At this point of the season, everybody's hurt. Everybody's dealing with something. And, I'm like you, Junie. If you're hurt, but you can still go, you're going. If you're injured, it's a different story. We might have to, reevaluate you at game time. And then I also said earlier, if they get to a point that, because this offense of the Titans isn't built to come back from 14, 17 points down. They're just not, especially now because of the injuries. If you get down, say, in the second quarter, third quarter, 14, 17 points, now as a head coach, I got to think, what is beneficial for my team now? Because us coming back, it doesn't look like it. Should I pull my guys now, let them rest the remainder of the game, let them get the full week off? It's sort of like a mini bye week. Let's address it and let's do it that way. Because I don't see any other reason why, as a head coach, being a former player, knowing that, sometimes the morale of the team is more important than anything else. Trying to get this team out of a rut is more important than anything else. To me, I feel this team needs to get out of a rut. If they don't win this game, or if they don't show that they got fight in them, and guys are on board, I think they need to win this game just for morale purposes. Because I don't think they can go into week 17. Well, yeah, week 17, week 18, but game 17. On a six-game losing streak. If they go into the Jacksonville game on a six-game losing streak, I don't see then how they win that game. I just don't.
615-737-1025. Text or call in if you think that there is any possibility that this Tennessee Titans team, with how banged up they are, can get a win over one of the best teams in the NFL coming in the Dallas Cowboys. We want to hear your opinions. Our call and text line are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Give us a call. Also, next segment, D-Mace, I want to talk about this. Malik Willis, we've talked about it. We haven't seen a lot of progression from him, whether it's from training camp, whether it's from when he came in the middle of the season, and now towards the end of the season. Is it time to consider Josh Dobbs as an option? Weigh in on the text line. We want to hear your guys' opinion. You're listening to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.